The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Good morning. Welcome. Welcome back to part two of our Saturday morning live and local lineup here on 710 KNUS, where we kick it off with the Occasionally George show from 6 to 9, and then I pick it up from 9 all the way to noon. We had to have special security here today for the crossover because, as you know, if you listen to the George show this morning, we have taken very significant opposite sides in this very important upcoming September 18 Central Committee Republican vote about whether to opt out of, not the primary, whether to opt out of the open primary. And there is quite a distinction. George had an excellent column in the Denver Post, many things in it with which I disagree. And been so busy I haven't had a chance to finish it, but I will finish this weekend. My response, basically, and my position on the open primary, Megan Schrader at the Denver Post says she'll get her dropped in sometime this week. And so we'll have that happening for you to get sort of both sides of the story. But we had to have security here today just to keep George and I separated because now we're warming up. You know, we've been invited to do a debate, live debate. That may happen sometime later this week. I thought it made sense to get the Denver Post response in before we go anywhere and do anything live to go back and forth on this. But I'll keep you posted on my social media, maybe somehow a drop in here at 710 KNUS if that debate comes together. It's a very small audience for this conversation because there's only about 500 people in the Republican Party that will make this decision about whether to opt out. But it's an important debate, and there's so much misinformation being shared day after day after day about what's real and what isn't. So at 9:25 this morning, we'll be joined by State Representative Dave Williams, one of the rock stars in the Colorado State Legislature. I hear Peter talk about him all the time as the golden boy, you know, the guy who should run, can win. And I agree. He is absolutely terrific, and he'll join us at 9:25. We'll talk about the people who are supporting the opt-out and why. Yesterday, Pete had Colorado State Senator John Cook in studio, and he is opposing the opt-out provision. And so I thought it'd be very, very useful to hear a little bit of what John Cook had to say and then talk about it with State Representative Dave Williams. All that will be ahead starting at about 9:25. We've got a whole lot to do this morning, and I know that around here, phone lines get full very, very quick. I've been encouraging people to put this number on speed dial, 303-696-1971, 696-1971, because when a line opens up, you got to grab while the grabbing's good. I want a Corvette on speed dial, KBPI radio. I can tell you it absolutely works. So we'll squeeze in as many calls as we can. But later on in the show, we're going to be joined by new TV star, the viral, the one and only former vice chair of the Colorado State Republican Party, founder of the Rocky Mountain Black Tea Party, and just an amazing patriot, great dad, good friend. His name's Derek Wilburn, fresh off of the Dr. Phil show this week. And he will join us in the 10 o'clock hour. We'll replay for you that viral lecture, that viral spanking that he gave to a school board down in, I believe, Elbert County is where he lives. But we'll get all that clarified with Derek Wilburn. It's very, very important. And then you've heard the news. It's been all over the place. In Denver, and this is looks like it's going to get more and more statewide, mandates, government mandates. If you want to work for the city and county of Denver as a police officer, as a fireman, as a health worker, you have to get the vax. And I can tell you from personal experience, I've never seen my phone lines blow up like they did this week at the law firm. We'll talk about that more in depth when we change to this topic. But in the 11 o'clock hour, the president of the Denver Police Union, Nick Rogers will join the show, and then sometime, we planned to have Danielle in the first hour of the show, but her flight changed. She's coming back from Florida. She had dinner with Governor Ron DeSantis last night. She's a gubernatorial candidate, Republican, and she's not taking this mandatory vaccination business lying down. And so whenever she hits the ground, she's got a layover sometime during the show, probably in the 11 o'clock hour. She's going to reach out to me. We're going to get her on as well to talk about what she and apparently I are going to do about it as we move forward. So just a fascinating show ahead, and a couple of headlines before we do something that I think is probably among the most important things that we will do today. And that is, this is fresh off the Babylon Bee. Joe Biden demands whoever the president is to take full responsibility for this Afghan mess. And, you know, the Babylon Bee, it's a satire and a satire site. The other one that I thought was pretty funny this morning, the Taliban buys Hunter Biden painting for their presidential palace. And listen, if I was on more than just 3 hours a week, I would probably spend the whole show today talking about Afghanistan, talking about the debacle. And I hear, you know, all the talk about who's at fault and George W. Bush and going all the way back to 9/11 and on and on and on. The person responsible for what is happening in Afghanistan right now is zombie Joe Biden. And all of the woke military advisors and bureaucratic generals that surround him. Donald Trump and Mike Pompeo announced that we were getting out of Afghanistan, long overdue, and the right thing to do. I mean, I can entertain and find interesting the arguments that a presence in Afghanistan has certain international strategic value. I mean, what is Afghanistan? It is the huge chunk of land that is bordered on the west by Iran and bordered on the east by China. So being able to keep an eye on things, yeah, I get it. Nation building, forget about it. Forget about it. Regardless, the decision was made and a plan was implemented, and a plan that made sense. You strengthen all of your reserves and your protections around major air bases. You make sure that the enemy, the suicide bombers, the death warriors can't get anywhere near to those particular areas. And then you start getting your people out. You get out your American civilians, your American embassy workers, your Americans, period, whatever their reason. If they want to go, they go. And then you get out the Afghanis who have assisted the Americans. They're the first ones that are going to be targeted for death and for torture. And you get them out. And you do it safely by keeping the roads open, by keeping the airports safe. You don't give up your most defendable airstrip as they did and focus all of your efforts on the Kabul airport, which we saw what happened this week by handling it the way Joe Biden did. So you keep your military presence strong. You warn the Taliban. You warn ISIS. You warn everybody. We're not going to do flyovers where we break the sound barrier to try and scare you like Biden did this week. And we're not just threatening a targeted drone strike on one of your ISIS leaders like it appears we successfully carried out this week. I've got no objection to that. You tell them, like Donald Trump did last year, that when we're ready to go, if you don't let us go, we're going to wreak havoc and hell down upon you like you have never, ever seen. And because of the way Donald Trump performed while he was in office, the mother of all bombs, the wipeout of ISIS in, what, a matter of 14 days or so, he would have been taken very, very seriously. You allow us to get our people out. You stay away. If one American dies, then the full weight of the American military will pour down upon your heads until we are safely out. You back out the Americans, the Afghanis and others who helped the Americans that are now targeted for torture and death. And then you start getting your equipment out of there. You don't leave billions of dollars of high-tech military equipment to these mongrels in the Taliban. What you can't bring, what's not worth moving, you destroy. You blow it up. You get rid of it. You blow up your embassy. Any other asset that might be of use to the Taliban that the United States is responsible for, you render it useless, or at least you remove from it anything that could be of use to our enemies. And then you start backing out your military. You shrink your perimeter. You maintain air power and other military power so the planes can get in and out and nobody can take a shoulder harness and fire a torpedo up there or whatever. And sure, it's dangerous. Sure, people can get hurt. But the plan was in place, and it's Joe Biden and Joe Biden alone, commander-in-chief. And I know that's an oxymoron with him. He is a puppet who's being told what to do. He has to get permission to call on reporters at press conferences. But whoever is running that clown show, this could have been handled appropriately, and we wouldn't have been left with this mess and this disaster that we're in right now. With what's the number now? Kelly, is it at 13, I think? 13 dead Americans. So if I was on more than just 3 hours a week, I think we'd spend the whole show talking about this. We could go back to why we're in Afghanistan in the first place. We could talk about the military strategy of being there and the lies that got us there politically and all the other information that is fascinating. But I don't have time to deal with that. I have time to deal with the here and now. And that's exactly what we're going to do, because the here and now is we have lost 13 American heroes because of the ineptitude and the absolute dereliction of duty of not only the zombie-minded, barely walking and functioning commander-in-chief Joe Biden, but all of the bureaucrats and woke military advisors and generals surrounding him. It's an embarrassment for the United States of America. It's a tragedy for the United States of America. And it is especially a tragedy for the following. And so I would just ask you, I know we've got full lines. Everybody's going to have to be patient with me this morning. 303-696-1971. Plug it into your speed dial. But so we can move on to other things, let's remove our hats. Let's take a moment and let's remember those who gave everything and had to because of the ineptitude of the current administration. We have 10 of the names so far that have been confirmed. Marine Corps Lance Corporal Riley McCollum, 20 years old, from Jackson, Wyoming. Marine Corps Lance Corporal Jared Schmitz, 20, of Wentzville, Missouri. Marine Corps Lance Corporal David Espinoza, 20, of Rio Bravo, Texas. Navy Hospital Corpsman Max Soviak, Berlin Heights, Ohio. No age is given. Marine Corps Corporal Hunter Lopez, 22, of Riverside County, California. Marine Corps Lance Corporal Kareem Nikoui, I don't know. God bless his soul, 20, of Norco, California. Marine Corps Staff Sergeant Taylor Hoover, 31 years old, of Utah. Marine Corporal Dagan William Tyler Page, 23, of Omaha. Army Staff Sergeant Ryan Naus, 23, of Knoxville, Tennessee. And Marine Corps Sergeant Johnny Rosario, or maybe Johanny, this may be a typo, I don't know. But Johanny or Johnny Rosario, 25, of Lawrence, Massachusetts. God bless them and their families and everyone who loved them and the children that won't be born, and on and on and on. It's outrageous. And everyone should be focused on the ineptitude, the impeachable behavior of the person in charge, zombie Joe Biden. We're going to speak in just a few minutes with Dave Williams, state representative, who's going to share why he is in support of the Republican opt-out. We'll get to that in just a minute. But before we do, let's also take a moment to pay respects to our country. As you remember, and if you're listening on the podcast, you don't get to hear the bumper music now. We can't play the whole national anthem. We're working on getting our very own version for that. So we do the very best we can under the rules that exist. And if you will please join me by placing your hand over your heart, and I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Wait for it. Look up. Yeah, baby. And I just say this one more time for everybody on the podcast. We cannot do the full national anthem, and the music does not play on the podcast now. So we're going to get our very own version, so at least that part of our morning, Saturday morning ritual can could be a full part of our podcasts as well. And we're very, very grateful for you for caring about that. Text messages pouring in from patriots, from military heroes. Thanks for recognizing the fallen and their families. Text to studio. Love the 710 CAN-US text to studio app because it's an easy way to communicate with you right out of the gate. I'm Randy Corcoran, 710 CAN-US, 71 degrees in Aurora, 73 right over there in hell, otherwise known as Denver, always hotter in hell. And people were just went crazy last week over the What If recording that I played. And it was from Facebook, and we cut it up into three pieces, played the first piece the first hour, first and second piece the second hour, the whole thing again in the third hour. And I literally had dozens of requests. And so I went looking for it on YouTube, and there was no full-length version. So we're going to play it again sometime before the end of the show, probably just once, but in its entirety. And magician Mark Crowley went ahead and hooked up a link to the Wake Up with Randy Corcoran webpage at 710 CAN-US. Click on shows, click on Wake Up with Randy Corcoran. You can link to the What If Trump recording all by yourself. Now, here's the problem with it. I'm trying to figure out a way to fix this, but it links to a Facebook recording. In fact, Tom Tancredo put that out. And so if you don't have Facebook, I don't know if it works. Bottom line is we will share it with you because I've never had any, except for Tea Party meeting tickets, I've never had so many people respond over something that we've played here on 710 CAN-US. All right, back to business. It's 9:26, and we're going to be joined here in just a moment by State Representative Dave Williams, one of the true warriors for freedom, always top-rated in the way he votes, great communicator, someone who is certainly, if he wants them, has a big future in politics, period, because he's just that good. And we've been hearing for, you know, you can read in the Denver Post, you hear on other radio stations, hear on other shows here, this opposition to opting out of the Republican, of the open primary, the Republican Party opting out of the open primary. And there's so much misinformation out there. And so who better than to go to the source, one of the sponsors of this actual movement itself. His name is Dave Williams. He's a good friend, and he joins us now. Good morning, Representative.
Good morning, Randy. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thanks for taking some time. And I told you before I invited you on that a state senator who opposes the opt-out, John Cook, was on with Peter yesterday, and he made some comments, and I thought really kind of the best way to get a little bit of back and forth going, or at least some responses, is to play that audio for folks, and then you and I can talk about it. And so we'll do that over the course of the next 15 or 20 minutes. But first, just for people who aren't too familiar or just getting into this conversation, lay out the short version of why this is so very important to the future of Republicans in Colorado.
Yeah, you bet. Well, to be very blunt, if we want to start winning again, we have to start chipping away at what the Democrats and left-wing, mega donors have been, setting up for the greater part of 10 years. Open primaries is one piece of the puzzle, out of all the other election laws that have been put into place. Ever since Democrats have, taken control of the legislative power and the governorship, they've been passing law after law after law that tip the scales in their favor. They have gerrymandered, they have manufactured, they have manipulated their political power they have right now in Colorado. And if we don't start undoing what they have instituted, we are going to continue to lose elections and have a permanent minority status in Colorado and be the next California. And one of the best ways we can overcome or start to overcome this issue is to avail ourselves to the option that the voters gave us. In 2016, with the passage of Proposition 108, which was a bad bill, and many other Republicans should have fought like tooth and nail to not allow it, the voters did give us a somewhat of an escape hatch, albeit it's nearly an impossible one to use because of the thresholds involved. But still, the voters said that if we had sufficient numbers within our state party to opt out of the open primary, that we could do it. And so that is what we are attempting to do on September 18th. We are trying to convince our fellow Republicans that one of the best first steps that we can take to win again is to allow Republicans to vote for Republicans. What a novel concept. And the reason this is important is because open primaries have left open the opportunity for mega Democrat donors like Catherine Murdoch, for instance, to spend millions of dollars in manipulating our nomination races for two reasons. One, they can help nominate weak candidates in competitive races and in turn elect Democrats in those competitive races, or they can nominate weak Republicans in safe races so as to elect weak Republicans who will not stand up to Jared Polis.
Yeah, let's distinguish weak, because weak Republicans that lose in a competitive seat are one thing. But when we talk about weak Republicans in a Republican seat, in a place where Republicans are going to win, what we mean is Republicans who don't stand first on the Republican platform, Republicans who don't stand up for the Constitution, for representing the people, for shrinking government. They're into compromise, and compromise with the Democrats, especially right now in Colorado, always means moving further and further to the left.
Yep, correct. And correct. And this is something that we really need to start stressing. One of the things we tend to talk about, which is fine and we should, is the blueprint. But, To just make it very clear to your listeners, Randy, the blueprint is yesterday's war. And the problem with, focusing so much on the blueprint is we are trying to fight yesterday's war, while the Democrats have innovated and have come up with different strategies to further their agenda. They have now figured out that they can, in addition to competing in these competitive races and dumping millions of dollars to get their Democrats elected, like they did with the blueprint, they have figured out with open primaries they can manipulate safe Republican seats and put Republicans into power who will not oppose their agenda or at best will compromise with them and help them get most of what they want, if not all.
Talking with State Representative Dave Williams, and they do it with the help and appreciation of Republicans, Republican consultants, Republican big money donors, the people who make money off of these off of this current open primary system. They're totally in support of keeping this going. And we've watched, the lack of success of it already since its implementation. You mentioned Catherine Murdoch pumped hundreds of thousands of dollars, close to $1 million, if I recall, into the Colin Larson race to take out rock star, A-plus conservative Justin Everett, who had held that seat, then sat out a cycle, came back to the seat, and it was using this open primary process and dark money galore that they were able to remove someone who had consistently scored an A on the way he voted with Principles of Liberty, now the Republican Liberty Caucus, Liberty Scorecard, Replace them with somebody who consistently scores Fs and Ds, Colin Larson.
Yeah, I mean, it's no secret. In that race, I supported Justin Everett because I'd worked with him. I knew he was a solid Republican, conservative rock star, and it was a no-brainer for me. But, you know, one of the things that, you know, we should stress also is while they're doing that, taking out, you know, Republicans that are principled, they're also utilizing the election integrity issues that we have here in Colorado to their advantage at the same time. That's why it goes hand in hand with open primaries, is that they can ballot harvest. And we all know what ballot harvesting, you know, can do and how it can affect an election. It's on steroids with open primaries, and they use that to their advantage, you know, as they pump millions of dollars into this race, into these races, because they know that every voter is going to get a mail-in ballot. And so they just need to go harvest those votes. And if you don't think that's troubling, next session, you know, we're already hearing Democrats are going to introduce ranked choice voting, you know, statewide. And it's going to be, you know, it's going to get to the point where we're not going to have anyone standing up to POLUS or to the Democrats and their crazy agenda if we allow these things to continue on. And
Go ahead. Well, one thing I think folks are going to find interesting when we start playing this State Senator John Cook audio is he was against open primaries at the time. But he's convinced now that since that's the system in place, that's what we need to work with. And one thing I'll say about Catherine Murdoch, I am the Colorado Republican National Committee man, and I am not speaking on behalf of the RNC, the Colorado GOP, or anybody but, you know, good old Tea Party activist, constitutional conservative, pumped up purveyor of principled, passionate patriotism, me. That's the only person I'm speaking for right now. But when I was at the RNC training two or three weeks ago now in Nashville, this Catherine Murdoch has taken her millions into Alaska. And they have persuaded and now gotten passed in Alaska this same open primary garbage. And they're going to do it. They're doing it for the same reasons. I can tell you the people who are running Alaska, running the Republican Party in Alaska, are very, very concerned about it. And they know ranked choice voting is just around the corner up there as well. These are the typical incremental steps that Democrats so effortlessly seem to suck Republicans into. And then the folks that make the big money off of our elections, including on the Republican side, they're happy because they make the ton of money, win or lose. There's nothing wrong with asking or permitting or demanding that the members of a party, the Republican Party, are actually the people who choose the nominees. So let's hear a little bit from State Senator John Cook. This was yesterday on the Peter Boyle Show, 7 o'clock hour, if you want to hear the entire interview. But there's always this chatter about the civil war in the Republican Party. It's nonsense. I've never seen the Republican Party more unified. The America First agenda, all the people that were drawn into, you know, the record number of people who voted, for instance, for the policies of Donald Trump, whether they liked the man or the personality or not. All of that is a matter of record. The battle that's going on now in the Republican Party is the same one that's been going on as long as I've been an activist. It's the establishment, big money donors and consultants against people like you and me, Dave, and Tom Tancredo, who supports this, and Vice Chair Priscilla Ron, who supports this, and Secretary Marilyn Harris, who supports this, and the list goes on and on and on. It's been those guys against us forever. That's not a civil war. The problem for the establishment is we're winning these debates. More and more people are coming to the America First agenda and know what it takes in 21st century politics to win elections. So let's hear the first minute from State Senator John Cook and then have you respond.
You can tell that there's animosity or civil war just based on this open primary conversation and what a small group of people want to do down in Pueblo at the Central Committee meeting. It, for those that don't know, there's a movement to do away with basically a primary for the Republicans. And I was against, I think it was in 2016, allowing unaffiliateds to vote in Republican and Democrat parties. I firmly believe you need to belong to one of the parties to be a part of the process of picking the candidates. Well, the people spoke, and now unaffiliates can be in both Democrat and Republican primaries. I still don't like it, but we don't want to alienate the largest voting bloc in this state. But this goes a little bit further. They want to do away with allowing the rest of the Republicans, over a million Republicans in this state, from voting in a primary.
And one more real short.
You can tell there's a small group of people that want total control of the state of Colorado, and it's going to be the death knell of the Republican Party if this passes the closed primary. If that passes, like I said, it'll be the end of the Republican Party here in the state.
State Senator John Cook, I think he meant death knell, but death nail, whatever, nail in the coffin of the Republican Party. I've never heard anything more foolish in my life. Dave?
Yeah, there's plenty of things to deconstruct there, but I, you know, one thing I do agree with him, but from a different point of view, is that there is a small group that want to control the Republican Party, and they are those who oppose the opt-out effort. They're the establishment that you spoke of. They are the political consultants, and they are even the Democrats who don't want us to opt out. There's a lot of, you know, backstory I can give you, but for the sake of time, Democrats don't want us opting out. They don't want us opting out because they enjoy the advantage of manipulating our open primaries and electing Republicans that will either lose or help them if they win, pass their radical agenda. But the long and short of it is this: what's true is that every Republican who wants a vote will get a vote starting at the precinct caucus. So this nonsense about people being disenfranchised is not true. If a Republican wants to vote, they will have every opportunity to vote, as well as have an opportunity to move on through the process as we nominate through our grassroots assembly system. It's not dissimilar to what we see in places like Iowa. And Iowa, by the way, is a swing state where Republicans are thriving. They're competing well, and they're winning races statewide. So there's no reason to suggest that if we go back to that kind of model that we're somehow doomed to fail. No, we're doomed to fail if we keep doing what we're doing. The definition of insanity is, doing something over and over again while expecting a different result. We've tried open primaries for two cycles now, and we've been losing. And by the way, I want to address this ridiculous notion that somehow we're going to be snubbing unaffiliated voters. It's not true. Unaffiliated voters didn't receive a ballot in 2014 or 2016, but yet we still managed to win elections prior to that. The reason they don't care is because they're unaffiliated. They don't franchise with us to begin with. There's no reason to suggest that they would be offended or upset, because we have a whole history showing Republicans winning statewide when we had closed primaries to begin with. So this is these claims are not based in reality. Unfortunately, they're coming from the consultants and the political insiders who are desperately trying to come up with fear-mongering talking points and spoon-feeding it to the their front men who are peddling this notion that we should continue to allow Democrats to manipulate our nominations. We shouldn't stand for it, and we should demand that they disclose their financial and political interest in maintaining the status quo.
And State Representative Dave Williams, we're getting near the first break. Can you stay with us? Because we've got a little fair amount more to share with folks in this on this particular topic today.
You bet.
All right. And the repetition of the same line was very apparent yesterday from Senator Cook.
We're going to alienate, like I said, the unaffiliates, but even worse, we're going to alienate a million Republican voters in this state if we close the primary, because they won't be able to vote the primary.
Yeah, it's just such a fallacy. We did worse in 2018 than any other election that I've looked at in Colorado's history under this new process. It's before that we were able to elect a Cory Gardner, and on and on and on and on. So we'll dig into more of those details in just a minute. What's true, what isn't. And by the way, if we're successful in opting out of the open primary, we're not just stuck with some old process that's been designed for us. There are other things afoot, including challenging the unconstitutionality of the entire statutory scheme. And we're going to get into all of that on the other side. Before we go to break, though, I just want to tell you how great it's been for me. I'm getting close to a year maybe that I've been with Julie McCallum, Dr. Julie McCallum in Senogenics. I heard about her, good friend of Peter Boyle's. That's how I met her. She advertises quite a bit here on the station. And, you know, you take one look at Pete, he'll be 78 in October, I heard him say, and just unbelievable energy and health and clarity. And I'm feeling the same results for myself. I'm losing weight. I'm putting on muscle. I typically sleep pretty good. That hasn't really changed. But man, oh man, the one-on-one support that I get from Dr. Julie McCallum and the team at Senogenics has literally changed my life. And now we're working on my wife, and I am loving what I'm seeing so far. It's so easy. You just make a phone call, 720-387-3681. Again, 720-387-3681. You'll get your free 20-minute consultation with Julie McCallum. If you decide to go forward, man, the evaluation, what you will know about yourself and your body and what it needs, supplements and vitamins and maybe a prescription or two, the exercise, the diet, every facet that can make a difference, especially for folks like me who are, you know, starting to get a little longer in the tooth, has really changed my life, and I hope you'll check it out. It's wonderful at Senogenics. The website is denver.senogenics.com, denver.senogenics.com. At 9:48, have one line open, 303-696-1971. We will get to some phone calls at the top of the 10 o'clock hour. But right now we're going to continue our conversation with State Representative Dave Williams. He, along with, you know, one of the stories you hear often is the way that the Republicans, the established Republicans, took Tom Tancredo out of the gubernatorial race. And I agree. I became unaffiliated when that happened. I did it publicly on the air when I was doing a morning show. And there was a reason. There was a consequence in my mind to Republicans taking that action against Tom Tancredo running for governor. Tom Tancredo, the poster child for what the establishment will do to good, strong, constitutional, conservative, grassroots conservatives, fully supports the Republican Party opting out. Maybe I'll get him on next week to fill this segment. And so you always want to look at the motives of the people who are telling you when they're against something or when they're for something. What is the real motivation for that? And in large measure, in this case, it is, hey, Dave, we'll get you back on there. I thought you could hear while you were on hold. My apologies. Are you there now? Dave, he can't hear us. Huh. Why don't we'll hang up. We'll get him back. Look at the motivation. Look at the track record. Look who supports. Look who's against. You know, my experience in primaries before we went to this open primary, we didn't actually have a primary process. In fact, what sort of triggered this whole thing was back when the Republican Party, because of some rule that was going to cause harm, bind delegates and all that, declined to hold a straw poll. And then certain other Republicans who couldn't typically get nominated as Republican candidates through their big money behind, well, Kent Theory, through his big money behind pushing this open primary scheme that is now headed to Alaska, Catherine Murdoch, her big money, all of it. And so, you know, I don't know how we could be any worse off than we are. I think we've got State Representative Dave Williams back. Dave, can you hear us now?
Yep, I can hear you. I'm back.
All right. Here's more from State Senator John Cook yesterday.
They don't want to face reality of what the state has become. It's become a very moderate state. I'm not willing to say it's a total blue state. I think we still have some shots in next election and maybe picking up the Senate. So I don't want to say it's a total blue state. But if we close this primary, it'll be very, very dark blue state. They don't want to face reality.
State Representative Dave Williams, your response.
You know, this is a very good example of why Republicans, especially in the upper echelons of leadership, are failing. It's because they believe these lies that our enemies tell us. You know, the Democrats and the press, they all say that we're a moderate state, that we're a blue state, that the unaffiliated voter is left of center, and, you know, you got to play it down the middle in order to win. And I don't know about you, Randy, but I was always taught, you know, you should not take advice from your enemies or those who don't want you to win. You know, what do they have to gain if we believe them? And it's not true that these people are left of center. The fact is simple. They're unaffiliated. The true swing voter is unaffiliated because they don't particularly hold true to any partisan ideology. That's why they're unaffiliated. And the best example I can give you is in that 2016, Donald Trump won the county of Pueblo. And then 2018, conversely, Jared Polis won Pueblo. So there is this weird Donald Trump, Jared Polis voter out there who doesn't care about partisanship but cares about issues that cut across those party lines. And once Republicans start to figure out that, hey, maybe we shouldn't listen to the press, maybe we shouldn't listen to the media and the Democrats and the political consultants, maybe we should start nominating people with conviction that care about uprooting corruption and reforming our system, then we're going to start to win elections. But with open primaries, they have the ability to manipulate our elections and nominate Republicans who want to compromise and work with Democrats. It's no wonder why the swing voter doesn't want to vote for us, because they don't believe that we have conviction. They don't believe that we have character. Our brand is losing quite simply because the voters do not trust us, and they do not trust us because Republican leaders in the legislature or in power sell us out day after day after day. This is one way that we can help reverse the trend. We should opt out on the 18th.
And that's not the end of the conversation. The Republican Party then can make decisions about how it wants to empower more people to participate from the caucus level on up to the assembly, how to get more delegates, how to get more people who'll be out knocking on doors and getting the perspectives of their neighbors. And bottom line, though, is allowing Republicans to pick people who represent the Republican Party, the Republican platform, to be our candidates. Catherine Murdoch has taken these ideas, very successfully implemented in Colorado, to Alaska, for goodness sake. And the folks in Alaska are terrified about what's going to happen up there in that typically, reliably, very blue state. Bottom line, though, 75%, that's a big nut, man. It's not just 75% of who shows up in Pueblo on September 18th. It's 75% of the entire 500-plus assembly. So what's really bothered me is lies are being told. I heard at the Arapahoe County Republican Monthly meeting that people were saying that I was telling folks that anybody could get a proxy from anywhere in the state and bring it. And it seems like – and then the party feels compelled to send out these responses to try and clear the record. They're supposed to be neutral. I would say let the campaigners against the opt-out, you know, send out corrections if necessary. But the party is doing it. What they're doing is they're tossing up these straw men saying somebody said this or somebody said that, things we never said, so that they can go ahead and get their arguments out. It's outrageous.
Yeah, I would agree. If the party wants to take a position, if the chair wants to take a position just as the vice chair or the secretary, then so be it. But for the party to act like CNN fact checkers to help the opposition try and discredit the supporters is just outrageous. And that is what I'm seeing. You know, anyone can say, oh, we're just trying to, you know, make sure everyone's informed. Well, that's not your job. That's the job of the campaigns. The campaigns are the best fact checkers against each other, and that's how elections and campaigning work. But when an organization is supposed to be a facilitator and a neutral arbiter, but then they interject within the process, it only works to undermine the trust of our institution. And we need to not stand for it. But the one thing I will, you know, get back to is that you're right, Randy. We can decide to increase the number of delegates who make these final decisions in the assemblies. Right now, the fact is this: when we have a precinct caucus, every single Republican is welcome to come and have a vote and have their voice heard, starting at that precinct caucus. And if they want to move on to the next process of the assemblies, more than likely, if you just raise your hand, you'll get it. And I bet you, if we were to opt out, it would behoove us to increase the number of delegates so as to have a wider pool of engagement. This only helps out the party. It only drives participation, and that will translate into greater donations, greater volunteerism, and more participation within the local party organizations that desperately need it. Right now, candidates can and do often bypass the party. They don't need us, and so they're not driving anyone to the parties. Because right now, open primaries don't give that incentive.
Dave, we are entirely out of time. But the one point I was making, 75%, a tough nut to crack on the 18th. But even getting 50%+ to show that a majority of the Republican decision makers on the Central Committee support this opt-out gives us new tools and new possibilities to work with, including the legal challenge that Colorado GOP lawyer Chris Murray said a couple of years ago, you know, this whole statutory scheme is unconstitutional. I talked to him after he was on with George Brockler today and reconfirmed that perspective and that statement that, you know, anything's a close call, but there is U.S. Supreme Court precedent that this whole thing ought to be tossed out on its ear. And if we can send that message to the leadership of the Republican Party, then that opens up the possibility for a next step, even if we don't successfully hit that 75% threshold today. And Dave, I'm so sorry, but we have got to end it there. Thank you very much for your time, and keep up the good fight, my man.
Thanks, Randy. Take care.
All right. God bless. Got to get straight to the break. Lines are full. We'll grab your calls next on 710 KNUS.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.